Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are in the midst of a dark passage. And Father, I pray that as we understand and grapple with the truth that you have for us in this last plague, the death of the firstborn, that Lord, that we will continue to worship you and understand you as a kind and compassionate God. But Lord, we also pray that you will help us to understand as a people that you are a holy God, and that without the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us, that we are a wicked people. And so, Lord, we pray that as we see the hem of your wrath today, that we will also remember the glory of your mercy in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that we will always remember your Son, that we will think on how unworthy we are, but how glorious and good your Son, Jesus Christ, is. And Lord, that we will remember the work that your Holy Spirit has done on us so that we might also be called the sons of God. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would be among us, convicting us of sin. Lord, we pray that we will understand this passage. Lord, I pray that you would please strengthen me, help my words to be clear. And Lord, that if I say things that are untrue, that they will not be unheard, they will not be heard by your people. Father, we pray that our loyalty will always be to you and to your words, and not the teachings of man. Father, we pray for the Baltimore Rescue Union. Lord, we know that things become more difficult for those who are homeless as the temperature changes. Lord, we pray that you will strengthen us as we go down. Lord, that you will help us to remember to pray for the homeless. And Father, that you would please teach us how it is that we are to care for them. And Lord, we pray that the gospel mission there will not only preach the gospel, Lord, but that people might be saved. And Lord, that the conditions that have brought them to homelessness, Lord, will be changed in their lives as they come to know you. Father, we pray for a fellow church. We pray, Lord, for Capitol Hill Baptist Church. Lord, we thank you so much that Meredith and Ben were married yesterday. Lord, we thank you for the picture of your love for your church that we see in marriage. Father, we also pray for Michael Lawrence. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen him in his gospel task. And Lord, give him great wisdom as he continues to consider the future. Father, we pray for our governor, O'Malley. Lord, we pray that he will please not only consider the economic condition of our state, but Lord, that he will also consider the issues of life, whether, Lord, it is the life that exists in a fetus as a stem cell line, Lord, in a scientist's plate, or Lord, that he will consider the life of the unborn child who is older. Lord, we pray that he will remember that he is a creature and that he is under you as the Creator. We thank you, Lord, that he has been your means to maintain the peace of the church. And we pray, Father, that he would continue to allow us and to promote our right to worship you. Lord, we pray that your presence will be among us and that we will recognize your holiness. And we pray, Lord, that you would please teach us to trust in your promises. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. About 4 weeks ago, my family brought home 4 goldfish. And in a traumatic evening and afternoon, 3 of those goldfish died. And they died probably from ammonia poisoning and too quick a change in water temperature. And it was an enormously pathetic experience to watch those goldfish die. They struggled against death, and they struggled against their body's response to their environment. And it was quite shocking for my children. I was in the shower when it was discovered that they had all of the fish had died, and the children cried and were very, very upset. And the reason for this, the reason that the fish struggle against death and that the children were so upset, is because there is an intuitive knowledge that we have as human beings that death is not a good thing. And there's a sense in which even the fish have that, this understanding that death is to be avoided, and that in some sense death is evil. And this intuitive knowledge that we have that death is bad is one of the reasons that the text before us today is difficult. Because in our passage today, God will kill every firstborn in the nation of Egypt. And he will do so by announcing it and then personally assuring that the task is complete. And there is something inside of our hearts that is shocked by this. There is a stirring up in our hearts of fear. Because we recognize that our God is not only holy, but he is terrible. And he is terrible in the sense that he would decimate a population as a judgment. And so as we come to our text today, we will try to understand why it is that the God that we worship does such things. And to understand this thing means that we will have to understand the entire narrative of the Bible, because we will have to understand the role that death plays in our relationship with God. This, by the way, is the reason that when I came here, we preached through Matthew first, or we went through Matthew first, and then we went to Genesis. Because what the book of Genesis tells us is that God told our father Adam that if he was to rebel against him, if he was to eat of the fruit of the tree of good, of the knowledge of good and evil, that he would die. And so what we find out in the very beginning of God's narrative to us is that death comes because of sin. And because we all sin, God has the right to take away our life at any time. And this also means that because we are in Adam, and Adam is our father, and he was a rebel against God, that God has the right to take away our life from us at any time. And that any life that we do have is a mercy from God. And the pleasures and the joys that we have in this life are not ours by right, but rather by God's mercy. And so that means that if you go out and have a nice steak, enjoy a sunset, enjoy the companionship of your children and your spouse, or a good dog, or even a cat, these are all God's grace on us. And we live in a world that is full of God's grace. Every single person here, believer or non-believer, and every person in the world has been washed over by God's grace. And because we're sinners, we don't deserve any of these things. And we must constantly keep this in mind as we come to the Scriptures. Because if we forget it, what will happen is that we will stand in judgment of God. We will say, God, I wouldn't have killed all of the firstborn in Egypt, so you ought not to have done it. And that is a terrible sin, and a sin that we must avoid as we come to this passage. So please open your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 11. Exodus chapter 11. Now we will be considering chapter 11 all the way through chapter 13. What I will be doing is reading the portions where there is the greatest theological density and where the narrative is explained the most clearly. What we have in our text today is a lot of repetition, and the reason for that is that God immediately announces how the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread will work, and then God repeats it as Moses commands it to the elders of Israel, and then the nation of Israel obeys God, and then God repeats it again. Because God is bringing one of the fundamental and important ceremonies of His people into their consciousness. He repeats it. And so while I will not be doing, many times I try to make a synopsis of the text, today I will just be reading the text in order with a very brief synopsis. And so let's begin in Exodus chapter 11, verses 4 and 7 through 7. Thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle. There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there has never been, nor ever will be again. But not a dog shall growl against any of the people of Israel, either man or beast, that you may know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. Now Moses then leaves the presence of the Pharaoh in a judgmental anger. And let's come back to Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And all the gods, and on all the gods of Egypt I shall execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. As a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast." And then Exodus 12, verses 29 to 32. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who is in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, and he and all of his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where someone was not dead. Then he summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Up, go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also." The Egyptians then essentially expel them from the land of Egypt with great gifts. The Hebrews pack up their few belongings and the unleavened dough, which would still be